Blog Talk Radio.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Transforming Health. Why are so many people sailing at half-mast these days? And worse yet, how many of these people have been living this way for so long, they don't even remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? Too many individuals suffer from a condition. It's really the condition of acceptance. They're guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Well, unfortunately, for too many of them, they don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. As youth has proven over and over again, your cells really do have this incredible ability for self-renewal. And through this miraculous feat, their disease-fighting ability is practically limitless when you really think about it. Your cells divide hundreds of billions of times each and every day. And since your cells experience a continuous barrage of assaults, both internally and externally, the cells sometimes experience genetic damage in the process. So if your internal environment is optimal, then your cells' many backup systems will deal with these insults, and you won't really be the wiser for it. However, if your internal environment is less than optimal, your cells may not have the ability to engage their damage control centers, which could lead to diseases like cancer. After all, cancer is really uncontrolled cellular division and really only one example of the body's inability to repair damaged or worn out cells. No one ever believes that his house could burn down, yet very few individuals would ever be caught without fire insurance. But what do we do to ensure our own health? I mean, if you're like most, probably very little, if anything at all. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that the way most people treat their bodies these days, it's amazing that it takes so long to actually see and feel the results of their efforts. Let's face it, we don't need another study to understand how important regular exercise is, yet most of us don't exercise. We don't need to see hardcore research behind the ill effects of drinking soft drinks or pop drinks to know that they really don't belong in our bodies, and we sure as heck don't need our grandmothers telling us to eat another stalk of broccoli to know that it's a million times better for us than a candy bar. Yet we continue to assault our bodies by subjecting them to an unhealthy environment, and yet we manage to actually scratch our heads in disbelief when we experience the so-called inevitability of aging. The question is, what are you doing to ensure your future? That really is the topic of today's show. Today's guest is a board-certified medical doctor who has practiced environmental and preventative medicine in Beverly Hills for over 20 years. What sets this doctor apart from most others is really her commitment to her patients and the time she spends to review comprehensively their history and their symptoms in order to detect the causes of all of their disorders. She insists on developing a cooperative relationship with her patients. She wants people to feel empowered to do as much as they can for themselves in a safe manner and believes in educating her patients and explaining what is most important for their well-being. So please welcome the creator of the Lipman Center for Optimal Health and the author of Staying Healthy in a Challenging World, the one and only Dr. Kathy Lipman. Dr. Lipman, welcome to Transforming Health.
Thank you very much for that lovely introduction, Mr. King.
Well, you know, it's deserving, Dr. Lipman, and I have to say, first off, I want to hear from you because you're a bit of an anomaly in a sense when it comes to allopathic medicine as a medical doctor. You seem to spend a lot more time with your patients, a lot more than the majority of doctors out there.
Yes.
Why do you think Why do you think you are an anomaly in today's world, and how can we work to fix something like that?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for what you were, how you presented the human body as a very intelligent organism. We would not have been living as long as we have if it weren't so intelligent and if we weren't able to adapt to whatever aspects of the environment has met us. So that's a very important message. And as a part of that, I also appreciate what you said, that the body really is able to heal itself given the opportunities and the resources to do so. That's an important message.
No, and I appreciate that. So why are you so different in today's allopathic model? I mean, why aren't other doctors spending as much time with their patients to find out, you know, really what's going on with their bodies instead of just, you know, having somebody come in, seeing them for a few minutes, and having them walk out with a prescription?
I think there are several layers of difficulties with the medical profession, but most importantly, the medical profession is sickness-oriented. It's oriented when somebody comes in with a condition, as you say. You figure out what the condition is, and then you treat it with a medication. It doesn't have the interest. More importantly, it doesn't have the time right now to try to figure out, well, what is causing this problem in the first place?
Right, right.
And that is what I and the colleagues who practice the way I do are interested in, not just in band-aiding a condition, but in really finding what is there about this body that it is manifesting these symptoms right now as a signal that something is wrong or something is off or
right.
something needs to be repaired or restored.
But that's really what it's all about. I mean, you're not saying the medical profession is wrong in any way. I mean, they are, as you mentioned, disease-oriented. There is a place for medical doctors out there. You want to go and see a medical doctor if something's gone wrong. But we're really lacking in the preventative side of things, aren't we?
Exactly. I refer people to other medical doctors all the time. You know, whether for surgery or medication, if their condition is not responding, there is definitely a place for medicine as it's practiced and for prescription medications. But what's lost is the opportunity to really support the body in healing itself if you give it the chance.
So wouldn't you say that something is very wrong when you have regulatory agencies that pretend that things like vitamins are dangerous, but these same agencies are going to and continue to ignore published statistics showing that conventional medicine is the real hazard out there?
Well, now we're getting into the whole issue of how does society develop the values it does and how does it ignore the individual and only look at what seems to be powerful and monetarily valuable. That's a whole other issue, and I think it's a topic for another conversation personally.
Okay, well, I just want to start off here, and then we can move into ways in which we can really prevent a lot of the disorders and the diseases that so many people are experiencing. But, you know, the statistics are out there if people really do want to see these. And, you know, every year there's approximately 2.2 million, and this is in the United States, U.S. hospital patients that have experienced adverse drug reactions to prescribed medications. And, you know, this is in a hospital setting the majority of the time. This is with qualified medical professionals that are, you know, diagnosing and giving these medications to these patients. And yet there are, you know, millions of people every year that are experiencing these drug reactions. And the majority of people never hear about these. Yet, you know, there's one thing that happens with a vitamin or a mineral or something like creatine, for instance, and it's on the front page of
right.
every newspaper, and it's in the media, and it's being reported around the world, and people get very afraid. It just amazes me that the media will not get behind positive information, and there is a lot of positive information that's available for, you know, preventative medicine, using vitamins, using minerals, even using things like creatine. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of research on things like creatine in the aging population, because as you know, one of the things that happens to us is we lose our ability to both generate energy, and we actually lose a little manufacturing plants, the numbers of those as we actually go through the aging process. So I just wanted to mention that off the top, and I want to ask you a question, because one of your areas is really environmental medicine, and I don't think people really understand what that is. Can you explain what environmental medicine is all about?
I will. I want to emphasize something you were saying, because you're making a very important point. Not only are there all these reactions to properly prescribed medications in safe hospital settings, but properly prescribed medications, the most harmful effect of them is the over 100,000 people per year who die from side effects of properly prescribed medications. And that's a very significant number, especially when you consider that people don't die from vitamins and minerals.
Good point. Absolutely.
So environmental medicine is another way of looking at the human body and how the environment affects it. It regards illness as possibly being a result of a sensitivity or an intolerance to a food or a chemical or some other aspect of the environment. And we don't normally think of our reactions in that way, but for example, one case that really struck home to me was about 20 years ago when a woman came to me who complained of depression, and she noted that when she took her mold shots, that is allergy shots for sensitivities to mold, she wasn't depressed when she took them on a regular basis. When she forgot to take them, her depression would come back. And I said to her, mold, huh? No kidding. And that was really telling, you know, that any substance can cause a reaction in an individual. One of the problems is that the term allergy used to mean, a number of decades ago, any adverse reaction to something that normally did not cause a reaction in most people. Now it has become much more defined in terms of specific blood responses, but the same principle is there. We're talking about a sensitivity or an intolerance to a substance. As I said, it can be a food, it can be a chemical, it can be grasses, weeds, what people normally think of as allergens. And then as environmental medicine doctors, it's our job to determine what the person is reacting to so that they can either avoid it or we can treat them in such a way that they're not as sensitive.
You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. We are talking to the author of Staying Healthy in a Challenging World. We're going to be talking a lot about environmental factors and how they impact our ability to either heal or to stay sick. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Kathy Lipman and Transforming Health. Don't go anywhere.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, welcome back to Transforming Health. You know, as we learn more and more about the human body and its interactions with its environment, it becomes really increasingly apparent that our lifestyle and dietary choices are likely far more important to our health than even our genetic makeup. I mean, many scientists would agree that the choices you make every day will determine up to 80% of your overall health status, which really means that less than 20% of our ailments are genetically ordained. In other words, our genes are really nothing more than templates upon which we build our unique life experiences. And those experiences are really largely up to you, nobody else. Now, while our genetic codes may be fixed, their expressions definitely are not. Genetic expression changes constantly, adapting to diet, lifestyle, and perhaps most importantly, environment, or better yet, our perceptions of our environment. Perceptions equal reality. Never forget that. The take-home message is it's up to you and you alone whether you choose to express your genes towards abundant health or towards illness. So stop blaming everyone else, especially your family, on your present condition, because I see this time and time again, especially when it comes to obesity. The statistics are overwhelming out there. You know, if you have one obese parent in your family, you do have a greater than 70% chance of becoming an obese adult yourself. And if you have two obese parents in your family, well, you might as well hang up the running shoes because you really do have a greater than 90% chance of becoming obese yourself. Now, is that because that's built into your genetic codes, it's in your DNA, it's in your blueprints? Or is it because you're mimicking what your parents did to make them fat and keep them fat? I really think it's the latter, and it's the, you know, it's the old adage of nature versus nurture. Please welcome back an environmental and preventative medicine specialist and the author of Staying Healthy in a Challenging World, Dr. Kathy Lipman. Dr. Lipman, you were talking about environmental medicine right before we went to the break, and you know, you're almost like this doctor that's really part of a CSI system when you really think about it, because you've got to figure out, you know, where are these sensitivities coming from, or where are these allergies coming from?
Right.
And my question to you is, and I know you said, you know, you made the point that someone came into your office and they were very sensitive or allergic to mold, and I've heard of that as well. It's, you know, it's not common, but at the same time, you do hear about these things. Do you think, as a society, we are actually becoming more sensitive to these things, or do you think these sensitivities have been around all along?
Well, I think the sensitivities have been there somewhat, but there is definite evidence that we are becoming more sensitive. Increasing numbers of children, for example, are developing severe allergies. Everybody's heard about not carrying a peanut on an airplane for fear of what it might do to a
right.
child who's on the airplane, or parents are advised not to bring peanuts and other allergenic items like that into classrooms because of the potential for a severe reaction by another student in the class. So that's very real. I think you made a very important point in terms of the obesity. We do learn behaviors very definitely, and the obesity issue, which has become a horrible epidemic actually all over the earth, it's not just in the United States, is a very troubling one. Certainly, the way we eat is a big factor. There is also concern that the chemicals we get exposed to are also a big factor. For example, since World War II, industry has created over 80,000 different chemicals.
Right.
Very few of which, just literally, you can count them just about on the fingers of two hands, have been studied for their possible harmful effects on humans. And yet we're using these chemicals right, left, and center. I'm not against chemicals, but what I am against is the idea that something is safe until it's proven to be harmful.
Well, you know what's interesting? Cornell University put out a study on this a few years back, and they estimated that 40% of worldwide deaths can now be attributed to the various environmental factors, especially the chemical pollutants like pesticides. So,
yeah.
You know, what's your comment on that?
I don't know about 40%, but certainly that major illness, obesity for one, cancer, neurologic problems, you name a disorder, and there is some correlation to pesticides and other what we are finding to be toxic chemicals in the environment. One example is bisphenol A,
yes,
which is a plasticizer used to line cans and bottles. And we know it's an estrogen mimic and doing terrible damage to the animals in the environment and to us.
Right, and there was actually a study in the Journal of Lipid Research going back a few years ago about body fat accumulation being very, very strongly linked to hormone-disrupting contaminants like BPA, and even things like methylparabens. I mean, methylparabens, you know, a lot of women that are listening to the show right now may not even think twice about buying expensive creams from their local pharmacies or department stores, and yet they never look at the ingredients inside, and methylparabens are these xenoestrogenic compounds that can really disrupt the hormonal chemistry of the body. So, you know, do you warn your patients against things like this?
I try.
Well, that's the thing. We can't avoid all of these things. I mean, we're not all going to become monks and go to some high mountaintop region and,
right,
you know, just have the cleanest air possible and the cleanest water and food. But what we really need to learn to do, at least in my opinion, is take out what I mentioned at the beginning, the cellular insurance. You know, do things that are going to really protect the cells as effectively as possible in this toxic world that we do live in.
Yes. And you made a very important point, because we're getting, we don't even know all that we're getting exposed to. For, you know, there's a whole question about the radiation from Japan, for example,
right,
after that terrible disaster over there. And goodness knows people have been exposed to radiation over the millennia from volcanic eruptions, and yet we're still around. So what has helped humans to continue to survive? And I think it was, first and foremost, eating a good diet, which included mostly vegetables, especially the green ones when they're available, and some protein and a little bit of fruit and a little bit of grains. Eating that style of diet makes a huge difference for people, but we certainly don't promote that. Everything has to be fried and coated, sugared.
Because we're in an instant gratification society.
Yes.
You know, and water doesn't taste good. I mean, the human body's 70% water. We're not 70% pop or coffee or juice or drinks.
Right.
But yet people won't drink water because it doesn't taste good enough to them.
Well, there was a study done a number of years ago of over 20 cities in the United States to see how many, this is after their metropolitan water district treatment, how many still contain pesticides. All of the water samples contained pesticides. Some were as few as one or two. There were even some that had as many as 9 pesticides, significant pesticides, that people were drinking. And especially when you think that the water is used to make formula for infants because they're not being breastfed, this is what the babies are getting exposed to at least after birth, and probably initially in utero.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I want to get your opinion on breastfeeding over formula, because, I mean, you know, we can't play God, obviously. Nobody can do better than nature, and nature always works in synergy, and anything other than that is a guessing game. I mean, I'm a formulator. I formulate products because of my nutritional background, but I can't play God either. I can't do better than a blueberry. You know, I can extract what's found in a blueberry and do the best I can,
right,
but it's always better to eat a blueberry.
Right.
You know, so what's your take on women? And I'm not saying the women that cannot breastfeed. I'm saying the women that choose not to breastfeed. What would you want to say to them?
I think they're missing a terribly important resource for their young child. As you say, first of all, we cannot possibly imitate what's in breast milk. We don't even know all the wonderful things that are in breast milk. I think it's hubris to think that we do. And the breast milk not only contains essential vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids, but also factors to improve the immune system and to protect that infant from all that it's getting exposed to as it first enters the world. Nothing can replace that. That's number one. Number two, the actual action of breastfeeding, of nursing on the mother's nipple, helps support the development of the whole mouth and thus the whole skull structure, and is very important for the whole skeletal development and organ development of that child initially and throughout its life to set
right.
that basis. And no bottle nipple has been designed that can possibly come close to providing what that experience of nursing provides.
Then there's
the whole issue of, I'm sure that we'll find further as we go along, of the connection between the child and the mother.
Right, of course.
That you can't replace with a bottle. This is not to say that fathers shouldn't feed their children, you know.
Yeah.
But,
well, especially with the man boob syndrome that's coming on, that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
What about when you hear about studies like PCBs, for instance, that are found in our environment still, even though they've been banned? 99% of human breast milk, it still contains trace amounts of PCBs. And there was a study a few years back showing that 25% of the breast milk contains concentrations that would actually exceed the legal limit of PCBs, which would be 2.5 parts per million. And if this were commercial formula, it would actually be too contaminated to actually be bottled and sold. What do you have to say for women that say, well, you know, my breast milk is actually even toxic, so why would I expose my child to that?
My reaction is, first of all, that doesn't mean their breast milk is all bad. And there are too many factors about breast milk that would suggest that it's still important to nurse. If there is some concern, they don't have to do all the nursing with the breast milk, but there's nothing like that experience of breastfeeding to provide all these important factors for the infant. That's number one. Number two, what it says to me is that women need to detoxify before they become pregnant, because we all get exposed to these chemicals, and there are ways that women can reduce their exposure to them and get them out of their body before, so that it's not as much of a toxic load. And then the further point is that we all need to work on cleaning up our environment so that this is not as much of a factor for the children.
Good. All great, great points. We're talking to the one and only Dr. Kathy Lipman today, how to stay healthy in a challenging world. We're going to be right back. We're going to be talking about all sorts of very interesting things, from how the environment may impact diseases such as the cancer epidemic that we're experiencing, and even things like obesity. Believe it or not, there's a lot of research that shows that a lot of the environmental toxins may be impacting our inability to actually use our own fat for energy, and also interfering with the appetite centers of the brain, which means that a lot of people may not be able to shut off their excessive appetite or cravings, and partially because of the environment. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, welcome back to a very important but a very interesting show as well. You may already know that estrogens are critical elements for maintaining health and balance in the body, but did you know that there are estrogen mimickers in our environment that can lead to hormonal imbalance? things like weight gain and even disease. Estrogens are hormones or chemical messengers that turn on or off various functions within the body, especially in women. For instance, they are largely responsible for preparing the lining of the uterus in the middle of a woman's cycle in order for it to be able to receive and nourish a fertilized egg. Fluctuations in estrogen levels are what women experience as hot flashes before and during menopause. And estrogen production by the ovaries helps prevent bone loss and works together with calcium and vitamin D and other hormones and minerals, by the way, to build bones. And the lack of estrogen brings on osteoporosis. But what about estrogen mimickers? They're called things like xenoestrogen, xeno with an X, and they come from a large group, tens of thousands of these compounds, which are very foreign, derived usually from synthetic materials such as pesticides, plastics. They can be found in body creams, detergents, food supplies, and our environment. Xenoestrogens have the ability to disrupt our natural hormonal systems. They create hormonal havoc, and they can possibly lead to conditions such as prostate enlargement in men, prostate cancer in men, erectile dysfunction, once again in men, breast cancer, perimenopause, PMS, menopause, as well as weight gain, especially in the abdominal area. Today's guest is a board-certified medical doctor who has practiced environmental and preventative medicine in Beverly Hills for over 20 years. What sets this doctor apart from most others is her commitment to her patients and the time she spends to review comprehensively their history and symptoms in order to detect the causes of their disorders. Please welcome back the creator of the Lipman Center for Optimal Health and the author of Staying Healthy in a Challenging World, Dr. Kathy Lipman. So, Dr. Lipman, we spoke about some very interesting things to do with our environment, and I want to carry on with this in this segment. But first of all, you've put out this really incredible booklet, which I have in my hands right now. It's called Staying Healthy in a Challenging World. It's not a very big book. We're talking about something that's about 64 pages. But, I mean, talk about being jam-packed with information, no fillers, no binders. This gets right to the point. But this didn't start out as a book. It started out as something you really just wanted to create for your patients. Can you tell us about that?
Exactly. That's what it is. These are a series of handouts that I give to my patients, and finally we decided, you know, we have so many, let's just put them in a booklet. And I give a booklet to each new patient who comes in. And they have said, you know, I like this so much, I'd like to have some for my relatives. We make them available.
Well, you talk about everything in here. You talk about, you know, grains, what grains can do to the body. You talk a lot about environment and detoxification.
Right.
Talk a lot about children and allergies. Here's something I just want to talk about for a second here. You talk about cell phone dangers, and you know, I've done a couple of shows with the world's leading experts in EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, and this is part of the environmental pollution or toxicity, so to speak, that you don't often hear a medical doctor talking about. So what would you like to tell the listeners today about cell phone use or even, you know, using phones within their house?
Well, in terms of phones in their house, I know that they're not very popular now, but I think there's nothing that can replace the landline because you don't have the electromagnetic exposure from one. Everybody finds cell phones so easy, they think, well, why should I pay for two phone systems? I'll just use my cell phone. But where there is tremendous concern that the levels of electromagnetic radiation from cell phones, even held close to the head, not right up to the ear, are still significant factors for our bodies. Our bodies are not accustomed to this much radiation. And the problem is our bodies are electrical, and there's concern and increasing evidence that the radiation from cell phones is so much stronger, it's interfering with the electrical signals in our bodies. What will be the long-term evidence of this? We're not sure, but we're already seeing a significant increase in the number of brain tumors, for example. There's also concern that people who live close to cell phone towers are showing significantly increased incidence of leukemia and other cancers. So the evidence is there. what are we going to do with it?
Now, when you talk about cell phone use, also one of the things that is just as dangerous, perhaps even more, are these cordless telephones. That's really what I was alluding to with, you know, the in-house use. People really don't use landlines. They use the cordless phones and they walk around. And those actually give off just as high a frequency, sometimes even more of a frequency.
Yeah.
There's also things like refrigerators that give off a tremendous amount. I'm not saying, you know, live without a refrigerator, but certainly don't sleep in a room that's behind where the refrigerator is actually positioned. All things like that can really affect the electromagnetic frequencies of your own body. So you've really got to be aware of those things. And when we talk about radiation, Dr. Lipman, what about X-rays? I mean, how many people have, you know, really understand the cumulative type of reaction that takes place with X-rays? I mean, I remember when I was a kid and anything would happen, you know, my mother would rush me to the hospital, X-ray, for whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
We never thought anything about it this time.
Right.
Now we're starting to learn that that could be extremely damaging later on in life. What's your take on it?
Yes, there is concern about the accumulation of X-ray exposure over the period of a person's life. So the fewer, the better. That's not to say that in an emergency, an X-ray isn't valuable.
Right.
But fortunately, now we do have other ways of examining the body, for example, through magnetic resonance imaging and ultrasound. Not that those are, we'll probably find that there's some effect of those on the body also,
right,
but at least they don't seem to be as drastic as X-rays.
So what's your take on mammograms?
I personally do not get a mammogram annually. I think I believe in thermography as a good, that's infrared evaluation of the breast and other tissues of the body. I think that there's a lot of evidence that suggests that much safer way and just as an effective way and less harmful way of examining the breast and the other tissue for cancers and other disorders. Certainly, a mammogram can be used if necessary to further evaluate a problem, but I personally go with thermography and recommend it to my patients.
Okay, so let's move this conversation into probably one of the most prevalent diseases of our time right now, and that's obviously cancer. I mean, you know, we hear all sorts of crazy statistics, which are unfortunately believable today, that one in two people will experience cancer within the next 10 to 20 years. I mean, I think every single person listening to the show right now has been affected by cancer, whether it's an immediate family member, whether it's themselves or a friend or someone they know.
Right.
We all know people that have been affected by cancer or who have died with cancer. So what is, in your opinion, how much does the cancer or the cancer exposure or our experience with cancer have to do with the environment and, you know, all of the pesticides and all of the things that we're exposing ourselves to these days?
I think it's a combination of the external environment and the internal environment. External is what you're referring to, all the chemicals we've been exposed to, possibly the electromagnetic radiation as on top of that, and we're finding, as you described so articulately, more and more evidence that these chemicals and exposures are creating a majority of the ailments we have. In addition to that, however, is the way people are eating and living their lives. We don't get enough sleep. We eat horrible diets. We don't take nutrients because the foods don't contain the nutrients that they used to because of the way the soil has not been maintained by general agriculture, and these are all factors making us more vulnerable to the cancer epidemic, undoubtedly.
So when a person is diagnosed with cancer, I mean, you have training in, you're a medical doctor, is the regular therapies that are being prescribed out there, you know, the big three, the surgery, the radiotherapy, the chemotherapy, what's your take on conventional medicine and how they treat cancer?
You know, it really has to be individualized, but there is a place for all of those treatments. And the the point that I think needs to be made is if it gets to the point where a person has a significant cancer, it needs to be addressed. But there are nutritional ways and dietary and lifestyle ways that that person can adopt to minimize the ill effects of the cancer and to
right.
reduce the risk of recurrence.
You know what's really sad, Dr. Lipman? I have a very good friend of mine who's actually in his 70s, and he was just diagnosed with terminal cancer. He had quite a few surgeries. He's still kicking along. I mean, this man will not give up.
Good.
And he's gone the conventional route, and it's been just even worse since he's had his chemotherapy, unfortunately. But I'll never forget, at Christmas time was the first time he was brought in the hospital, and I went to visit him, and he had this, the typical meal you would see in a hospital setting with the fake commercial cheese, Jell-O and the soft drink, and he said to me, Brad, I've got some fantastic news for you. You're really going to appreciate this. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, guess what? My doctor and my nutritionist told me that I can eat whatever I want because it doesn't affect what's going on within my body, so I can just enjoy myself. And I had to bite my tongue. There's nothing I can say. Here's a man who's been diagnosed with a terminal illness. I don't want to destroy any hopes that he has because he's believing in this medical model. But how wrong is that?
I think that's horrible that was said to him. There's so much evidence, for example, about how sugar helps cancer to grow, number one, and sugar depletes the body of nutrients. A teaspoon of sugar, with all due respect to Mary Poppins, causes the body to literally wash away valuable nutrients like magnesium and B vitamins, and it causes the white cells to become drunk. That's the expression I use, because
sure.
they don't function as well. So our immune system isn't working as well. So how anybody can say it's okay for you to eat as much sugar as you want, I think that's
I look at that as malpractice, and I also look at that as extreme ignorance. And, the majority of doctors would never intentionally harm a patient, but it's ignorant not to do the research yourself, because obviously they have no clue whatsoever how important diet is, because diet makes who we are. It becomes part of our cells. It is our cellular structure, and to think anything less, in my opinion, is extreme ignorance. And I think, doctors, especially where people are putting all of their faith into, too much faith sometimes, they owe it to their patients and to themselves to do a little more research and understand how important diet really is. And even if they can't give the right recommendations, send these individuals to the right people that can. And that does not necessarily mean the dietitians, because they're trained by the same school guides that have made the majority of our population as obese and as unhealthy as it presently is. We are talking to the one and only Dr. Kathy Lipman today. Staying Healthy in a Challenging World is the book, and you can get more information on Dr. Kathy Lipman at www.kathylipmanmd.com, and that's Kathy, CathyLipmanMD.com. We'll be right back with the final segment of Transforming Health.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com. Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
With the ever-increasing levels of commercial pesticides, fungicides, herbicides, nitrates, all of these things combined with steroids and antibiotics and growth hormones in beef and poultry and other commercial farm animals, it's important to know just what our bodies are up against on a daily basis, and even more importantly, what you can do starting today to protect yourself from these harmful substances. In fact, there's research that was published in one of the peer-reviewed journals of alternative and complementary medicine that showed that the drastic rise in the use of synthetic chemicals over the years closely matches the rise in the number of sick, overweight, and obese adults throughout North America. Please welcome back an environmental and preventative medicine specialist and the author of Staying Healthy in a Challenging World, Dr. Kathy Lipman. So, Dr. Lipman, we've more than made the case for all of the stuff that we're up against. We understand this, and I think the majority of the population gets that there's a problem in today's society. So let's talk about ways in which we can really protect ourselves. What are the things that you recommend to your patients in order to create what I would call cellular insurance?
I think it's a two-pronged approach. The first part is to get rid of as many of the toxins as possible in your diet and in your environment. In your diet, one of the first things I have to do is convince people to get off their artificial sweeteners because they really don't help them to lose weight. They don't help them to stay thin. They're toxins for their bodies, and they actually can support gaining weight. So one is artificial sweeteners.
Right.
Stop, as you have mentioned so well, soda pops and carbonated beverages like that, the processed foods. Get back to cooking your own food, or there are many health food stores that provide decent meals if you can't cook for yourself, with raw or lightly steamed or lightly cooked meals that are much more nutritious than you would get from your local hamburger joint.
Dr. Lipman, just on that, that's very important to talk. When you say cooking your food, and I know what you're talking about, but for the listeners out there, I mean, a lot of people don't understand the damaging reactions that take place with high heat cooking. Can you just touch on that?
The high heat cooking actually alters the food to make what are called free radicals in the food that damage us. That can damage us, and most of us, because of the way we're living, don't have the wherewithal to fend off these substances that are created. And the other problem with the high-heated food is they're often cooked with rancid oils, and there are often sugars in them, so it creates a real sludge for our bodies.
Well, you know, I actually did a media blitz about a year ago on the dangers of barbecuing, and you have no idea the amount of controversy that I, really drudged up by doing that, because everybody loves their barbecues, and it wasn't against barbecuing per se, it was how to protect yourself and how not to char the foods that you're making,
right,
because those are creating very, very damaging reactions,
right.
Some of which you just spoke about. A lot of those are called glycotoxins, and I think the people that are most susceptible are the people that have problems with their metabolism to begin with, so the obese and especially the diabetics. These are the people that really have to be most careful with the way that they actually prepare their foods, because not only are they already creating these damaging reactions in their own bodies, they're actually flying in already damaged materials that are further attacking the body. One of the things I want to talk about before we end here today, because this is a specialty of yours, is food sensitivities and food allergies. I want to talk about 90% of all food sensitivities are caused by really only four classes of the foods. We're talking about things like cow's milk, things like tyramine-containing foods, gluten, and preservatives and additives. Can you just, what can you add to this for people to know about, food sensitivities?
Well, I think it's important to realize most people don't think of their gastrointestinal tract in terms of how important it is for the whole body. And that the gastrointestinal tract is our center. We are only as healthy as our gastrointestinal tract. And as it becomes compromised, we become less able to tolerate common ordinary foods. As you mentioned, the gluten foods, casein, often nuts, sometimes fish, it really varies tremendously to the individual, can cause symptoms for that individual.
And it really doesn't matter. Like if you're, organic is always better because it's a cleaner form of the food. You're getting back to, you know, what nature really intended. But that really doesn't make that much of a difference when you're talking about things like cow's milk, for instance,
right,
because it's already gone through that pasteurization.
Exactly. And even there are people who tolerate raw milk, who don't tolerate the processed milk, but on the other hand, there are people who don't even tolerate the raw milk. There's also a big difference between some of the proteins in cow's milk versus sheep and goat milk. So
right.
Some people find they don't tolerate cow's milk, but they can tolerate sheep and goat dairy products.
So are you a big proponent then of the good bacteria, the probiotics?
Absolutely.
So do you think everybody should be supplementing with these?
You just took the words out of my mouth. Everybody needs them because we're so assaulted in our society by chemicals that destroy the beneficial bacteria in our gut, which, to remind people, you talk about cellular information. There are more beneficial bacteria in our gastrointestinal tract, there should be,
sure,
than cells in our bodies. So
now,
that's how important they are.
One of the things that happens, if for a lot of people that are undergoing things like chemotherapy, for instance, the first thing they're told by their doctors is, whatever you do, avoid probiotics like the plague. Do you think probiotics can be problematic for people that are undergoing those therapies, or do you think they've got it wrong?
If the gastrointestinal tract, if the intestines are really raw as a result of the chemotherapy and radiation, then the probiotics might be irritating, and there
right,
might be other ways to start. But otherwise, I don't believe that probiotics and nutrients interfere with the process of cancer treatments. There is a lot of evidence showing that they actually help advance the effectiveness of the treatments.
So
unless
if
the person
once again can be outdated.
Yeah, unless if the person is taking a medication that specifically requires they not take a certain nutrient.
Correct. Okay. We only have a couple of minutes left, Dr. Lipman. You've been a fantastic guest. Unbelievable information. You have a very intriguing section of your booklet. It's actually called In Every Medicine Cabinet I Recommend.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
I think there are some general remedies that are very helpful for people to have there are homeopathic remedies like arnica and calendula. Their vitamin C is tremendously beneficial in terms of assisting an individual in fighting off infection. Vitamin A can be very helpful to fight viruses. Zinc is very important for the immune system. There are antiviral products out there, forms of echinacea. There is a product called Humacil, which is available online, and ProBoost, which is available, that really improve the health of the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Garlic, for example. There are products like these that people can have in their medicine cabinet for meeting many major emergencies.
I love it. We've been talking to the one and only Dr. Kathy Lipman today. The booklet is Staying Healthy in a Challenging World. Once again, this is not a big booklet. This is something you'd be able to read basically in 2 to 3 hours. But having said that, it is jam-packed with really, really useful information. The website for Dr. Lipman is www.kathylipmanmd.com. That's C-A-T-H-I-E, Lipman, L-I-P-P. MANMD.com. Dr. Lipman, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and providing all of this incredible information for my audience. Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. King, it's been delightful. Thank you for the opportunity.
I want to thank all of you for listening to the show today. If you haven't done done. So already, please go on to Facebook, go on to Transforming Health with Brad King. Join that page. We're going to be giving away a lot of very interesting products and samples, and at the same time, keeping you updated with all the latest information for the number one health show on the Voice America Network. I'm Brad King. This has been Transforming Health. Go out there and have an unbelievable week, and we'll see you very soon. Take care.